All views, opinions, and comments expressed herein are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of StoneX Group Incorporated and/or its subsidiaries. This content does not constitute an offer or solicitation to open a trading account, to trade in any specific product, or to engage with any services provided by StoneX Group Incorporated or its subsidiaries. This content is not intended for residents of any particular country or jurisdictions where such content is prohibited.
Welcome to the Trading Global Macro podcast from StoneX, where we unpack the complex forces driving global financial markets. I'm John Kickletter, Global Head of Content at StoneX.
And I'm Matt Weller, Global Head of Market Research for StoneX's self-directed brands. Each week in this podcast, we explore the macroeconomic trends and geopolitical events shaping the Forex, equity, commodity, interest rate markets, and more. John, what is our topic today?
We went back and forth on the topic for today, and there's a lot of things going on in the world, which would probably be good for coverage, but I think that it's a little bit more time sensitive, and I think some of those themes will probably fade away. One that I don't think will fade away quite so readily is one that I know you're very passionate about, and that's the question of where AI is in the cycle as being a key market driver. And AI obviously has been a very high level topical theme, especially in the financial markets. In fact, if you were to do some trends searches in Google, you can actually see the density of search interest that is around it and is quite high. And it seems to only be growing. But in this world that we have, where there's lots of promise, but there's also an AI, but there's also lots of risks that we're seeing in the more traditional channels. So for like example, the monetary policy inconsistencies, we have the questions of global growth, trade considerations, consumer sentiment, all these other traditional macro drivers, which are very consistent over time. They're not on the most solid of grounds yet. You have benchmarks like the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ 100, since we're talking AI, that is pushing to fresh record highs. So where are we deriving this enthusiasm? Well, there is nothing perhaps as hope-filled and has this scale of potential of dramatic change that probably AI does. So I think we should go down this corridor and see and discuss. Is it at the cusp of the edge of a bubble, or is it really in its firmly set growth phase? But let's talk a little bit about the promise that we see in AI. And I think you're probably better positioned for this because I know you really are into this theme than I am.
Well, yeah, it's the adherence to AI as a transformative development would say we're in the early innings, right? We're getting the build out, and this is really what's been driving the market, driving earnings, especially within the market in the Magnificent Seven, is all these massive investments in facilities, and then the subsequent need for power generation and compute and developing new models. So the question is, of course, ultimately whether this is all legitimate. At what point will it start to lead to either additional profits for these companies or efficiencies, which is often a vague term that means productivity enhancement, and oftentimes many people losing their jobs, which of course is the snake eating its own tail, right? But as of where we stand now, if you just look at the earnings calls from some of these Magnificent Seven companies, they're saying, I believe it was Mark Zuckerberg in the last month or two, said, we'd rather overinvest in this theme by a couple $100 billion rather than underinvest because we risk getting left behind. And I think this philosophy is becoming pervasive, at least among leadership in these Magnificent Seven names that make up such a high proportion of the stock market. And then tying it back to maybe the global macro component of our podcast, it's also something that's having a massive impact on GDP, whereas consumers are perhaps retrenching, or at least not spending like the drunken sailors that they were back in 2021 with flush with stimulus checks. This AI investment theme is something that's picked up a lot of the slack there. I was reading a JP Morgan report that suggested it drove 1.1% growth in GDP in the first half of 2025, exclusively around this AI theme. So it's something that perhaps many individual consumers don't see on a day-by-day basis, but certainly having a massive impact on GDP and some of these traditional macroeconomic factors that we focus on. So the key question for me is, when will investors in particular start to lose, start to see where does the wheels hit the road, if you will. At this point, it seems like there's a very long leash that as long as these companies keep investing, there's still demand to fund it. And as long as that's the case, I think it can continue to support the market, even though we do have some of these more traditional macroeconomic trends that are, I wouldn't say concerning, but certainly not matching the enthusiasm that we've seen in typical measures of risk sentiment. Is that at all similar to how you're viewing it? You're generally more skeptical, John. I'm sure many of our listeners have either already picked up on that or will. Maybe a dose of reality might be appropriate, John. Is that how you're viewing it?
Yeah, I think that the appeal and of the disruptive nature of AI and everything it can bring to business, to consumers, to the individuals, it can be very alluring. And there's a lot of expectations that are contained in that because, you know, the opportunities, the potential is potentially boundless, especially as they start talking about uploading consciousness to, servers and integrating with AI. Those types of very fantastical things can really keep that top of funnel potential, just the cusp of which we have to keep moving forward and forward and forward. And the change that would represent to the not just the economy and the financial markets, but also to humanity, can be very appealing, scary, I think, to a lot of other people. But it does open up a boundless world of potential. And when I look at markets and I think about a fundamental theme, a driver, I look at the probabilities of outcomes, but also the different outcomes themselves. And there seems to be a relentless number of possible outcomes that this could take, which means that it's very hard to accurately price in. If it's that hard to price in, because you can't get it down to like a black and a white outcome. So for, let's say, a FOMC rate decision, are they going to cut or not going to cut? That's two possible outcomes, and you can assign probabilities with the surrounding information to it. When you're talking about something that is inherently founded in disruption, I don't think you can really land on this can be one of two possible outcomes and then put probabilities around it. Just it can be countless outcomes, and it can be quite significant in how it allows for a runtime on something like a bubble. So I think putting it into context, I like to look back at the dot-com boom bust, obviously. And if we look at the NASDAQ to the Dow ratio, for example, I like to use that as an example in how that plays out. But you have a remarkable amount of capacity for that buildup that represents. Because back in 2000, there was a massive buildup of interest, and it was because of the technology and the internet and everything like that. And technology shares were starting to really amplify, and there is a financial access to that. And we've surpassed that previous boom bust level back, I believe, in March of 2000. And we've carried on beyond that. Obviously, only part of that leg has been recently AI the past, I'd say, 3 years. So is it really tapped? That's obviously an open-ended question. But let's talk about where this actually rubber hits the road, because you can't be running on sentiment alone. You have to have something where it tangibly translates into market performance for speculators to either just say this is transformative and we'll eventually see it in the economy, which is a much further down the stream consideration, or we look at the companies where we can concentrate some of our exposure. So what are the companies or different areas of the market where you think this will really start, or it maybe already is, showing its performance and its uplift for investors to take advantage of?
I think it would be beneficial to almost rewind and kind of track the timeline, and then I'll note some areas that I think are, I don't want to say concerning, and I might even say necessary along this path, but that kind of paint a picture of where we are now. I would say we sort of had the kickoff for this enthusiasm around AI back in late 2022 when ChatGPT-3 launched. I recall it was right around the World Cup because I had it write a poem about my buddies coming over and watching the World Cup. And it really, I think for a lot of consumers, myself included, was impressive. And that's when a lot of individuals started to see the value there. And I think that has contributed to that rising sentiment that you noted. A lot of that, of course, concentrated then in video over the last couple of years. Now, the largest publicly traded company on the planet, maybe battling with Microsoft, which is also driven by AI. I'm not sure on the exact market caps as we speak. And then I think we might have entered yet another stage here in the last couple of months. You may recall that Oracle had an earnings report that essentially suggested they would be working more closely with NVIDIA and some of these AI companies, and actually taking on debt in order to fund this infrastructure investment to sort of join the Magnificent Seven. And I think that's a really crucial distinction, because heretofore, up until that point, it was just these massive cash-rich Magnificent Seven companies funding their investment in AI, the next big thing, out of their cash flows. Your grandma's on Instagram and clicks that ad. That's money in Meta's pocket. They just recycled some of that money into what they thought would be the next thing. They tried it with the shift to Meta platforms and VR and the metaverse and things like that, quickly abandoned that, at least as a primary area of focus, and now seem to be locked on AI. Now that, though, Oracle's kind of pushing the envelope there and taking on debt to join that, I think that's where some of the other magnificent companies may also join in that. I mentioned that quote from Mark Zuckerberg, where he suggested the bigger miss is to underspend. So I think that now we have the pieces in place for a bit of a mania, a bit of a bubble. Some would argue we've been there for years already. But I do think that marks a critical turning point. And I'll be watching really closely to see if some of these other massively profitable companies still aren't able to fund the extent of their build out of earnings alone, and will have to take on debt. Of course, debt and leverage is ultimately how many market cycles end. So I think that kind of is where we entered a new era here, and it could be more volatile, certainly, as we start to watch some of these earnings reports and again, investor appetite for actually getting a return on all these investments that seems to be lacking so far. But at some point, whatever the catalyst, that is going to change. So it's squishy, it's sentiment, but I do think that we can still have a meaningful conversation around sort of where we are in this cycle. And my belief that I think we've entered a new stage, an acceleration stage that often is seen before the end, but whether that's tomorrow or whether that's years down the road remains to be seen. So those were my main takeaways here. And certainly it's something that we might still have that acceleration phase to come. It does remind me here of a quote from George Soros. He once noted, "When I see a bubble forming, I rush in to buy, adding fuel to the fire. That's not irrational." Not necessarily saying that this is a bubble or will ultimately be irrational, but I think it speaks to the idea that markets can remain irrational longer than you can remain solvent. And I think we might be starting to tip toward that stage, but many would say we've been there for so long. So just anecdotally, from a sentiment perspective, where do you think we are, John, and what could push us one way or another from here?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of timing market cycles. I just think it's fraught in failure. Just it's highly improbable, because if you look at a historical chart like the NASDAQ 100 and you look back, let's say, even just 5 years, how many meaningful tops and bottoms have you seen over that 5-year span? It's less than 1%, well less than 1%. And that's being generous, even if I were looking at like intertrend swings. So trying to time a top, which is in essence the top of the bubble, but the top of the market, if that bubble were to implode, I'm sure the market would probably follow along. It's just such an improbable scenario that I don't even like it. But I think you're right in that lack of timing. I think people don't like it when I don't give a time frame, because I don't believe in those types of things. I think it's all probability. I look for the market to make its turn, and then what I want to see is not necessarily AI's bubble. I think AI can continue to build, and its integration into the economy is going to be bigger and bigger and bigger. But I think the market can still fall apart because it's stretched too far. And what you'll see is the traction that this North Star has offered for Optimus symbols will start to slip. We see this with themes all the time. So we see markets that are fixated on probabilities of Fed change or whether the non-farm payrolls will be better or worse than expected. And then all of a sudden it can shift and news related to those themes just is either zero correlation, or it actually seems opposite, but that's usually because it's zero correlation, and something else is just taking over. So I think sentiment will still not necessarily depend and continue to rise through all problems because AI continues to balloon. I think AI can continue to balloon and sentiment still fall apart. So that's what I would look for in really tracking the markets. How much attention are they paying to OpenAI, and how much are they going to give credit to AI being a countervailing wind to other more traditional economic issues? I think that's going to be my big takeaway, and what I'll be looking for is maybe going to Google Trends and seeing how much of the AI search is lifting up relative, let's say, government shutdown or interest rates or inflation. And then once you see that shift, then I'm going to be looking for those benchmarks like a NASDAQ 100, just getting higher level focus on the technicals and seeing when it starts to tip over. And then I think that's going to be more telling. Of course, AI can continue to evolve and improve in the backdrop of a market coming undone, but it'll probably also slow it because the availability of funds is going to dry up as well. So any closing thoughts on this?
No, I'll just maybe tie a bow on that. I think it's really interesting. I love the way you highlighted using these measures of sentiment. When the sentiment gets so extreme, like we're more extreme than we've been, I don't know if I would say we're at an extreme, but that's when those probabilities can shift. And if we have an earnings report where Meta or Microsoft says they're only investing $400 billion in AI infrastructure this quarter, whereas the market expected $500, yeah, it's still massive. But if it's below market expectations, that could be where the tide starts to shift. And certainly it's worth watching that. But as long as the gravy train's running, I think people will remain optimistic. So we'll leave it there. And certainly I fully expect that we'll be revisiting this theme and maybe even trying to identify if we might be seeing the shift in those probabilities as we go forward. So happy to leave it there, John.
Thanks for tuning in for the Trading Global Macro podcast from StoneX. If you enjoyed today's discussion, make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'm John Kicklighter.
And I'm Matt Weller. Join us again next week for more insights into the trends and events shaping the world's financial markets. Thank you.